Okay, so there's this James Collie tweet, right, Charles?
I love me some James Collie, Jam Collie.
Yes, he tweeted me yesterday, anyway,
How exciting
unrelated.
for you. He's married to Miranda Tapsell, and she's the coolest lady in Australia.
Yes, all of that is true. But he had this tweet from the start of the pandemic and the lockdown,
Oh yeah.
which I tried to find and I couldn't because Twitter's search algorithm is garbage. But it basically boiled down to, when I say you don't need to feel the need to be productive during lockdown, what I'm really saying is, I don't want to have to read whatever you're writing right now. So
If only Taylor had seen this.
Taylor Swift's folklore.
Swiss fuck up.
So a bit of cardigans. She wear
Yeah.
cardigan and she buy haunted house.
I believe she is the
I
cardigan.
felt like I was an old cardigan under someone's bed. You put me on and said I was your favorite.
But also, she's not the cardigan, Betty's the cardigan.
Yes, that's right.
So, okay, before we get into that, hello and welcome to Pitch Shift.
Hi,
My
this
name is
is the
Charles.
show. I'm Tansy.
And this is a show where usually we take a song and one of us will turn it into the pitch for a film. Today we're doing things a little bit different because we are talking about the entirety of Taylor Swift's folk fucking lore.
So just for context too, normally this show is actually quite structured. So normally we take a song and one of us will create quite a comprehensive film pitch out of it. But last year at Christmas, Taylor Swift released the batshit insane Christmas song Christmas Tree Farm, which we just spitballed into a bizarre Christmas movie
That movie was
about
great.
a Christmas ghost who was just so horny and
The
ready
horny
to come
Christmas
back to
ghost
life.
and the haunted spider Christmas
Yep.
tree.
So we
And
had
Oscar Isaac was there.
it was probably our loosest episode, and I think that that's the respect Taylor Swift deserves. So
Yeah. But also, I would love to go back to the times of Christmas Tree Farm in these the times of just like vaguely melodically sighing about a breakup that's actually maybe a metaphor for Scooter Braun, but actually maybe it's about
Joe
some made
Alwyn?
up 17-year-olds, or
Or
maybe it's Riverdale fan fiction,
yeah.
or maybe it's about Kanye West, but it's also not, but it is, but it's not.
Okay,
I would
so
love to go back to here's a song about my dumb Christmas tree farm childhood.
in my heart is a Christmas tree farm where the people would come to dance under sparkling lights.
I have unrelated beef with Christmas Tree Farm, which is that Taylor Swift comes from money and is not like from the struggle farming family. Like, there was an article going around this week that was like, Taylor Swift is the millennial Bruce Springsteen,
I
which
was gonna
I,
say, is this come back to this
yeah.
has come back to the boss?
Yeah, so I disagree with that on many levels. I think that this entire album is her trying to do Nebraska while simultaneously not understanding how Nebraska
Yeah.
worked. But
Hey, less drums and beats and stuff. That's an acoustic stripped back album about what it means to be alive, right?
yes, and to tell stories. But okay,
Important. Important.
I got two main reasons why I think that the take that Taylor is the new Bruce is wrong. Okay, number one is Taylor Swift's dad is very rich and bought a controlling stake in Big Machine Records before it put out her albums and signed her. So, you know, Bruce's dad worked in factories and was actually the blue collar man that Bruce always pretended to be. Take number two is that the characters in Bruce Springsteen songs are actually characters, whereas even when Taylor Swift is doing a song with characters, she has to fucking insert herself into them. Like the fucking Haunted Mansion, Last Great American Dynasty. It's like, and then I bought the haunted
Well,
house.
so
Ha ha,
I
I
don't know if
do
you
that.
I don't know if you know this, but also for our listeners, that song is actually based on the person who actually owned the mansion that she bought. So it is just a song about her. It's just that she's it's is it
Yeah,
Re
and it's the same
Rebecca
with like her fucking,
Harkness?
I don't know, the song about like
Is
her granddad in the World War
Oh
II
yeah. But
too,
that's
like
also a song about
about
the
her.
coronavirus. See the song about So reminds me a lot of You Need to Calm Down, which is a song that is in the first verse about Taylor and her haters, and in the second verse about homophobes and gay rights, and in the third verse or sort of bridge thing is about feminism just generally. And then at the end is about Katy Perry. And it's like, why can't just, can the song be about one? Like, choose one reference, Abed.
I think we need to remember too that Taylor Swift and Katy Perry's beef started because one of them had hired the other one's backup dancers when they extended their tour and left. I can't even remember who it was.
I thought it had something to do with John Mayer.
No, I think it's mostly about the backup dancers.
Jesus Christ.
To be honest, I'd rather have a feud over backup dancers than John Mayer, but...
I mean, he's not worth having a feud over. Mm. We all know that.
What was the last Taylor Swift song you did like, Charlie?
I actually, you know, I kind of liked the album Lover.
Okay.
I kind of liked her last...
Because I was going to say, there's no song on Lover that I go to listen to. There's a couple on Reputation. Like, I'll say it, Delicate slaps, so does Gorgeous. Gorgeous is absolutely about gay panic and the fact that Taylor Swift refuses to acknowledge that is bullshit. But
there's a couple of songs on Lover that, like, despite kind of feeling like there might be a bit, you know, like the song I Forgot That You Existed is a song that I'm like, there's some, you know, dicey implications of, like, I've intentionally not learned anything from this terrible experience I've had with someone, where it's like, I don't know, like, maybe it wasn't just the other person in this situation, but it's a funky song and I like it. Mm. Or even the one where she's going on about boring favorite boyfriend who sadly is no longer the boyfriend.
Did they? I don't know.
I assume that this, because everyone keeps talking about how this is a breakup album, with also three songs about some teens and two songs about the person who used to live in her house,
the ghost.
And a handful of songs about Scooter Braun, and a song, like, about coronavirus, but also the war.
Because there's the song that is very much like, well, hey, look at us drawing connections to our life. Isn't this cute? And then the last song is like, oh
is
boy, I can't
strings?
Believe we were in love. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's Hoax, which is like, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making me think you liked me back, or whatever the fuck the lyrics are.
Yeah, I didn't. So I made some notes about various things in there. So did we decide what we were going to, are we going to pitch
What the fuck are we going to do?
Or are we going to pick, because I still like kind of like the idea of going through track by track and then finding one just like quick pitch.
Yeah, let's do that.
Alrighty.
So we will imagine that Taylor Swift has sat us down and said, hey, two people who aren't particular fans of most of my stuff, can you make a visual album based on
exactly,
because as well it is striving really heavily to be cinematic. Like, there's the whole thing about like, I've seen this film before, I didn't like the ending, this was a film, like,
and the one that's what's the other quote about films,
it's is it in Hoax,
the greatest films of all time were never made.
Yeah, and there's the thing about, like,
the one.
Yes, and there's a whole thing about, like, watching our relationship on a film reel or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's in This Is Me Trying, which, oh my god, Taylor, you cannot call a song This Is Me Trying and then sing it all like this. Singing it all in a beleaguered sigh.
Welcome to my kitchen. We have bananas in our kitchen.
Which, and again, it's that thing where I'm like, I could see a world in which that's like a juxtaposition of, like, the lyrics are about this is me trying and the voice is like not trying at all. But she uses the same non-effort voice in the whole fucking album.
Have you got anything nice to say?
Okay, I like the song Peace.
I really like Peace. I'll say it. I really like Peace.
It's got interesting.
It does vibe a bit like it's an early Bon Iver song she's doing a cover of, but...
Yeah, there's a couple songs in here that I'm kind of like, oh yeah, I kind of like that, because it sounds like...
Like someone else?
Entirely different artist. Yeah, and like things like The Last Great American Dynasty, I don't personally like, but I think that's a good song. Like, I think that's well done.
I couldn't hum it for you. But...
No. Well, the thing is that other than Peace and some of the one, like, most of this just, each time, I've
it
listened
just
to it about three
over
times
you
now,
like a wave.
A lot of it just kind of out my brain. Yeah, there are a couple songs in there where I'm like, if you just tried a little bit harder.
But this is her trying, Charlie. This is her trying.
There's The one of the lyrics in the chorus of Hoax is, stood on the cliffside screaming, give me a reason. But she sings it like, na, 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 and it's like, that's not, what?
That's not screaming, Taylor.
You're screaming on the cliffside. Just there's a lot of it that I'm like, I think I could get into this if you actually, if you stop doing the indie girl soft vowel.
We have bananas.
And the kind of whispered kind of voice that, like,
you know what would have been.
I know it works for Billie Eilish, but it doesn't work for you, Taylor.
You know what would have been a great style for that particular lyric?
What?
The bit at the end of All Too Well when she's doing "You Call Me Up Again Just to Break Me Like a Promise." Like,
yeah,
that style would maybe work, and yet.
Yeah. Do you know what it, do you know, okay, this is, I think my definitive take on this album is that this is an album where all the songs are Wildest Dreams. That's it. That's the whole song. The whole song's just Wildest Dreams.
Okay, my definitive take is that all of the songs sound like they're playing at the end of the second act of a mid-2000s rom-com about a girl who goes to boarding school.
Yeah.
Should we come up with some films?
Okay, let's go. Okay, track one. The One.
But we were something, don't you think so? Roaring 20s, tossing pennies in the pool. And if my wishes came true, it would have been you. In my defense, I have none for never leaving well enough alone. But it would have been fun if you would have been the one.
She says she's on some new shit, so Taylor Swift swears now, which is like...
Actually, my favourite lyric in this one, though, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but my favourite lyric in this one is, I thought I saw you at the bus stop. I didn't, though.
I actually did have an idea for how you could make a film out of this one.
Yep.
The vibe I get from this song is like, oh, I thought I was very much in love. I was young and pretty stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the whole thing about you could have been the one.
Yep.
So my pitch would be you got someone who's early to mid-30s, got their shit together, starting to work shit out, maybe in a relationship that is going well, that's sort of going somewhere, and then their fairy godmother shows up and is like, sorry, shit, I know I'm 10 years late, but I'm going to fix this, and suddenly starts setting them up with, like, their mid-20s awful boyfriend that they were, like, throwing coins in the Trevi Fountain, being like, let's be together forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I like that, yeah.
Yeah, and just sort of, yeah, like, a really comedy of errors. Yeah.
Oh, my other favourite lyric in this song is, in my defence, I have none.
In my defence, I have none.
So the next one is Cardigan.
I
mean, do we want to start the weird love triangle trilogy that is
Betty
Cardigan
and James and
Ennis? Yeah, so the songs are Cardigan, August, and Betty.
Can we just agree it's just Riverdale fan fiction?
Yeah, yeah. But I think what it is, I think what it could be is, you know how the Killers album Hot Fuss
is about... like a gay bashing?
No, it's about gays killing one of the gays' girlfriend. Two gays kill a woman named Jenny.
Oh.
Who one of the gays was dating.
Okay.
It's like I can't remember how exactly Brandon Flowers has referred to it, but it's like the gay murder trilogy.
Sorry, that was my dog shaking.
I know. I figured that it was the dog. Hello, Bolly.
She's looking at me being like, can I come in for a pat? Yes, you can. Yeah, so the trilogy of...
Of gay murder songs.
Yes.
What I think it could be, and what a lot of people online I've seen have said, is that it could actually be, you know, there's a love triangle with James and Inez and Betty, but actually maybe the pairing that we're aiming for is Inez and Betty.
Yeah.
Maybe they're both like, hey, James is kind of a dickhead.
So what you're saying is Korra and Asami from Legend of Korra.
I don't know if I'm saying that because I don't know what that means.
They got very much set up as like, oh, look at these two girls competing for this one guy. And then four seasons later, they walked off into the sunset together.
Yes. I mean, yeah, that is essentially what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Cardigan's like, it's about like... like, even when I felt like I was used up and shit and nobody wanted me, you'd be like, yeah, but you're my favourite used up piece of shit Cardigan.
So whose perspective is this one from? Is it...
It's from Betty. Betty's perspective.
Right.
Betty's the one who was dating James, and then
Inez comes over in a car and is like, hey,
Inez is like, James, get the fucking car. And he's like, okay.
This is all the dialogue for our film version.
Yeah, because they're also Australian now. I think we'll get to what else happens in the trilogy as we get into those songs.
Yeah.
Maybe. Is the next song Exile? Or is... No, the next song is The Last Great American Dynasty. And they say, there goes the last great
American dynasty. That's already written. That is about a rich country musician who moves into a very haunted house that is haunted by a divorcee from Minnesota or whatever.
And I would like that to be like the country musician who moves in, discovers there's a ghost, and is like, oh, fuck yeah, we're going to get along. Or, yeah, it could be like that that film with, I think it's Abigail Breslin. It's called Haunter.
Like the Pokemon?
Yeah, like the Pokemon. But it's not about catching them all. In fact, it's not about catching any of them. It's about setting them free. Spoilers if you have never seen the film Haunter. But it turns out that the person who you think is the Abigail Breslin's character who you think is being haunted,
it's a ghost.
It turns out that she is actually the ghost. And she's trying to warn off a young woman who she thought was the ghost from the same thing then happening to her, which is that she got murdered in this house. So, like, maybe we start off and we think that, like, the dead old woman is kind of the haunting presence in this, when actually it becomes that the country musician it becomes the menace.
I love that.
And
we're
so the ghost, and so the Taylor ghost Swift is constantly is hiding. I mean, does she exist? Is she an algorithm?
I've never seen Taylor Swift and a ghost in the same room, so
that's I mean, you can't argue with that.
I mean, if you really want a horror movie about a haunting and the American dream, you can always check out our Jack and Diane episode.
Indeed you can. That's
about a bunch of Gen Zs who really want to be haunted.
Yeah, they're like, oh boy, haunting and death, sign me the fuck up. Okay, now are we now up to Exile? I think we're now up to Exile.
Okay. I think I've seen this film before, and I didn't like the ending. You're not my homeland anymore. So what am I defending now? You were my town. Now I'm in exile, seeing you out. I think I've seen this film before. So I'm leaving out the side door. Have you seen this film before?
So my thing with this song is that even the piano knows the song's dull as fuck. Because the piano's just like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and you got Justin Vernon doing... It's that thing where I'm like, dude, you can sing. Why are you doing what you're doing? I know you can sing. And he's like... It's like, what are you doing? Stop it. Yeah, so the thing with this film is, with this song, I think I've seen this film before and I didn't like the ending, but then the rest of the chorus is, you're not my homeland anymore, so what am I defending? So you're my town, now I'm in exile, seeing you out, and then I think I've seen this film before.
So is the film about a former fan of Showtime's Homeland who has become disillusioned with the film industry, worked their way up to become showrunner of the show, and then they're like, okay, this is the final season, you've got to make it count, and it's like, look, this isn't the show I started working on, you know, Brody isn't there, Carrie's still crazy.
This isn't my homeland anymore.
This isn't my homeland anymore.
What am I defending? Why do I want this show not to get cancelled, and then actively trying to get the show cancelled
by giving it the most insane twists and accidentally making it a much better show. Stops him. I'm just making sure we don't get headaches. All right, should we move on?
Yeah, let's do it. Oh no, I hate this song even more.
Which one?
My Tears Ricochet.
Oh yes.
So because you were like, Exile is my least favorite song on this album, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty bad. You were just saying that it was one of the worst offenders.
Oh, yeah.
Or something. But yeah, when I was listening to it, I was like, yeah, this is pretty bad. And then My Tears Ricochet starts, and I'm like, oh my God. No. I didn't have it in myself to go with grace. And you're the hero Oh no, so she's at her own funeral.
Yes, and you're at the wake, and
you're at the
you're wearing her makeup or her jewelry.
And if I'm
or
dead
something.
To you, why are you at the wake, cursing my name, wishing I stayed? Look at how my tears ricochet. Off what, Taylor? Ricochet off what?
Excuse me, it's the teardrops ricocheting off her guitar.
Here's a reason for the teardrops on my guitar. The only thing that
okay.
keeps me
while my guitar gently ricochets tears. Yeah, so she's at her own funeral. There's also the metaphor, if I'm on fire, you'll be made of ashes too.
Oh, yes, which... I remember that, and I remember groaning.
Oh, and my other one of my other favourite lyrics on the album, and I can go anywhere I want, just not home.
That sounds like your house is being fumigated, and you're at the pub.
Yeah, I can go anywhere I want, just not home. Yeah, okay. Can I just go fully into what I feel like Taylor wants out of this song?
Absolutely.
So the film would be we start kind of like death at a funeral, like it's a very somber occasion.
And it's the wrong body?
No, not that. No, not like a farcical caper like that. Just in the sense of like it's a funeral, but everything kind of feels like awkward and weird and, you know, inherently funny. And then it turns out that what it is that the young country musician from the previous film has faked her own funeral. Faked her own death so that she can watch her own funeral. Because that's what I get from the vibes of this song.
Yeah, I get those vibes too.
It's that thing of like, I want to see my own funeral and see people mourning me and be like, well, you should have appreciated me while I was alive. Except that this is someone actually doing it, but then is like having to behind the scenes kind of dash in and out of doors to keep up the
charade.
Keep up the lie until such a time as it can be like, I was never dead, you shits. And then everyone's like, hey, fuck you, this is a really messed up thing to do.
I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? Oh.
Because she's dead.
At least look what you made me do. I mean, like, strong choice, wrong choice, but it made a choice.
Oh, the director said make a strong choice, and she was like this, and it was like, oh, God, I guess.
Yeah, but no, I like the fake funeral country musician.
And this also would be the sequel to the one where she ends up terrorizing a poor ghost.
The poor
who just
ghost
wants to
of an oil baron's wife.
Yeah.
All right, next one.
Mirable.
Oh, fuck me.
Does this song exist? I don't think it does. Because the whole thing is just a drone.
As a metaphor, too.
Yeah, weirdly telling on yourself.
I reflect what you want me to reflect.
Yeah. Literally, one of the lines in it is, I can change everything about me to fit in. And it's like, yep.
I prefer
really told on yourself.
I prefer the line that is basically, look at me, hanging on to a hook in the ceiling, slowly rotating.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole thing is like, I am a reflective surface for parties, but also introspection. And it's like,
okay. But just so that we can tick it off, I'm going to pitch a sports film about a new fictional sport called Mirable that is half dodgeball, half Eurovision. And it'll be one of those weird Will Ferrell comedies.
I was
going to
say Will Ferrell
Netflix.
Sports movie.
Yes, absolutely.
Except, yeah, no, I love it. I don't love a Will Ferrell sports movie, but I love this one.
All right, that's Mirable out of the way.
Next song is Seven, which is also nothing.
And I've been meaning to tell you, I think your house is haunted. Your dad is always mad, and that must be why. And I think you should come live with me, and we can be pirates. Then you won't have to cry.
Okay, actually, no, this is the one that has some lyrically interesting stuff in it.
I was going to say I cannot remember a single goddamn lyric
from
it.
Okay, so that Seven is the one that has the second verse I find quite interesting, because the second verse is the where it's like talking to the childhood friend and saying, like, I think your house is haunted and that must be why your dad's mad all the time. And, like,
I think your we house should be is pirates haunted and run by away the and... widow of an old oil baron.
Yeah, and it's like, what, Taylor, you're 7 years old. How do you know about those? No, but the idea of, like, having a friend as a child that has a troubled upbringing and, like, trying to turn that into a narrative of, like, oh, there must be, your house must be haunted.
Mm. That's getting, like, dangerously close to Book of Henry territory, but I'll allow it.
It could just be, like, I mean, we could go back to, you know, our kind of A24 fodder, kind of like if The Florida Project was a horror film.
Ooh,
you
know how The Florida Project... Yeah, it's like she doesn't really get what's good because she's so much of a kid. Yeah.
Yeah, so like so much of the kind of sadness of it filters through you in a different way. Whereas with this, it'd be like that so much of the horror, instead of it being like, oh no, it's scaring my kids. And you know, I see dead people and all that kind of thing. It's like two little girls who are best friends and they're like, wow, there's a ghost in the house. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm friends with the ghost. And then the dad's like, and they're like, Dad, why are you mad?
And I mean, kids are such a mainstay of horror movies too.
Yeah.
That, yeah. Yeah. I'd watch that.
Yeah. I'd watch the fuck out of that.
Yeah. All right. That's seven. Done.
If I do say so myself. Yeah. Okay. The next one is August, and we return
to the Riverdale fan fiction.
James and Inez. He is lost in the memory. August slipped away into a moment in time. Because it was never mine. They're three such, like, what the hell went into the choosing of the names? I know that two of them are the names of, who the fuck? Ryan Reynolds' kids.
Really?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds' kids are like James and Inez.
No, that's bad. It's weird.
And then people were like, "Wow, Taylor Swift's predicted the name of Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds' next kid," and it's like,
but who the fuck names a fictional relationship after siblings? What?
Yeah,
That is Look, a weird choice she made there.
You know what? You're not wrong. You're not wrong, Tansy. So here's my suggestion.
Okay.
This is my rogue suggestion.
Uh-huh.
So you know how the first Scream film is about some shit that happens to Sydney?
Mm-hmm.
The second one opens with a schlocky horror film named Stab being released. And so it becomes about the fact that people do it, like someone's doing like copycat killings of the kills from Stab, which are based on
the kills from Scream,
the quote unquote real life kills from Scream.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say so like we've had the film that was Cardigan about Betty and Inez being like, well, fuck James,
let's run away together,
and then that August opens on that film having come out. And a friend of the screenwriter being like, why'd you name those three kids after you and me and my wife?
Yes.
Like, what's the deal?
It's like, it is basically a sad rom-com version of Nocturnal Animals, but again, I'd see it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, it'd be, yeah, sad rom-com version.
Yeah.
Instead of
still fucking... got Jake Gyllenhaal, but.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jake Gyllenhaal's the screenwriter.
Absolutely.
No. Jake Gyllenhaal can't be the screenwriter. Jake Gyllenhaal's the wife.
My wife.
And then the other two are, the screenwriter will be Rebecca Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
And the one who's not the...
Rachel McAdams. And then,
yeah, Rachel McAdams. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah, that can work.
All right.
That can work.
Okay, next one.
This is me trying. I'm so annoyed by this song. Became a sphere, fell behind all my classmates, and I ended up here, pouring out my heart to a stranger. But I didn't pour the whiskey, I just wanted you to know that this is me trying.
I think you could make quite a sympathetic, you'd struggle to fill it out to a film. But you'd have to sort of follow one person, probably a Taylor Swift-like woman, but who is not successful. And nearly Llewyn Davis, where, like, you know, she is making music, she's a bit of an asshole, she's difficult to live with, she's got a lot of baggage. And you can see throughout the film that she is actively trying to get her shit together, but the world is moving at a different pace to her. So all of her efforts are already undermined by the fact that she spent years being this deeply unlikable person. And this idea of like watching her struggling and really, really trying to do better with her life, but having already sabotaged everything.
Yeah. So like, La Vie en Rose. Are there actually? I'm trying to think of like other than La Vie en Rose,
like female music biopics.
Other female music biopics, or like fictional? Because I mean, like Inside Llewyn Davis is a fictionalized.
Is Her Smell similar? I haven't seen Her Smell, but I think it's a similar vibe.
I haven't seen it either.
Oh, what's the Runaways one that Kristen Stewart was in?
The Joan Jett one?
Yeah, was it called The Runaways?
I think it is called The Runaways, yeah.
Yeah. The problem is with your standard female music biopic, it is a case of, like, she's misunderstood and everyone is putting all this pressure on her and it's all these things being done to her. But she never, like, they're very rarely just people who are assholes. And I think we need more female assholes in cinema and literature because there's a lot of them in real life. And I just want to feel really represented on screen. So I want to see women who are just absolute
I
pricks.
I want that for you.
Thank you.
I want that for you. Okay, so now we come to, I think this actually might be my least favorite song on the album.
Oh, it's hotly
balanced. Illicit Affairs.
That's the thing about illicit affairs and clandestine meetings and longing stares. It's born from just one single glance, but it dies and it dies and it dies a million little times.
Oh, the double track audio on him. Just sends me into fucking hysterics.
Can we time it so we can try and do it together?
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Just for him. So you leave no trace behind.
Oh no. It really is, because it just comes out of nowhere.
But the question is, who is him? I think him is my special boy.
My perfect boy.
That's a perfect boy.
No, it's the Lord. Him is the Lord. So, okay, so a couple things about this song. Firstly, the chorus begins, "That's the thing about illicit affairs." It's just like, what's the thing? Like, the here's the thing about is a very, like, Webster's Dictionary defines kind of way to start anything. And my other thing about this, and I don't know if you watched the video that I sent you earlier today.
Oh, that it sounds that like Glitter and Ribs?
It sounds so much like Glitter and Ribs.
And with burgers on the grill and sparkles on my eyes, he served me a fib with a side of lies.
Down to the, you know, like in the end, I should have known I would be fine because I was only 16 and you were 49. Like, because this is about, it's about having an affair with an older man. From what I guess,
like, for me, this song is just designed to be referenced on AO3. Like, this is a song that will inspire. It's a song that will launch 1,000 ships and 1,000 fics.
Yeah.
And none of them will be good.
Like, think about saying that you were exercising because you'll be flushed, but it's for a different reason.
Oh.
It's like, oh wow.
Because they fucking.
Dude, they do a sex. They make fuck. Oh my God. Taylor Swift does that? Mm. But yeah, so yeah, I get the impression that it's, and it's also, it's that thing where it's like, are you trying to, like, is this trying to be a bit Lana Del Rey? Because it's not working. But yeah, there's all this stuff that's like, don't call me kid, don't call me baby.
Yeah.
I can't remember any of the other lyrics, but.
Yeah.
It seems like it's about having an affair with an older man.
So I guess, is that the film that we're going to.
Having an affair with an older man. Well, no, because that film's been made before and it's always so fucking depressing as shit.
I think I've seen that film before and I didn't like any of it.
Yeah, I didn't like the ending, but I also didn't like the beginning and the middle.
Okay, this is dumb.
Hit me with it.
Okay, illicit can also mean illegal, right?
Yeah.
And affairs doesn't need to be relationship. It could be, say...
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
It could be home affairs. So what I'm saying is a Adam McKay style, let me explain your thing about the various fuck-ups of the Peter Dutton au pair scandal.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I've got.
Here's the thing about illegal au pairs. Yeah, cool. Green lit.
And we've got your least favourite song out of the way, and we can double track that audio straight to hell.
Okay, the next one is Invisible String, which is the one that I think it were cool, that I think would be cool if it weren't also sung in the resigned sigh of someone who thinks that that's how you're supposed to sing when you do strip back
green
music.
Green was the color of the grass where I used to read at Centennial Park. I used to think I would meet somebody there. Teal was the color of your shirt when you were 16 at the yogurt shop. You used to work at to make a little money.
Yeah, that's the one about, like, interconnectedness and, like, fate and stuff.
You could do something that looks like it is, like, some sort of long relationship tracking rom-com where you're seeing these two people growing up in parallel and you're seeing the weird interconnections and the strange coincidences that kind of tie them together, and then they just never meet.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like all those bits from How I Met Your Mother where it's like, and your mother was that ex-girlfriend's roommate, but I didn't meet her for another 7 bazillion years.
Yeah.
Like, all of that, but then they never, it never eventuates in them having a relationship.
And the whole time you're like, oh, is this must be the point where it starts to, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, this is
and
just
actually,
a film about two people who have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. But within that also then you get two, like, distinct, complete narratives of people with their own struggles in life.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, maybe they rhyme a little bit, but, like...
Yeah, and, like...
They
probably,
are never together.
You'd probably have people interconnecting them, and you'd have the occasional thing where it'd be like, hey, you should, like, go on a blind date with my other friend, and they're like, no.
I don't want to do a blind date. Cool, yeah, that one was easy.
Yeah.
And now it's time for another ghosty hit, Mad Woman.
Mad Woman, fuck you forever. Wait, Taylor Swift said the fuck
word.
Oh
yeah, fuck you forever. Yeah, she do indeed say fuck you forever.
What do you sing on your drive home? Do you see my face in the neighbor's lawn? Does she smile? Or does she mouth fuck you forever? Every time you call me crazy, you're getting more crazy. What about that?
I have a friend who does not listen to this podcast, so she won't know that I'm roasting her. Fuck You Forever is apparently her new favourite lyric.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So this is another song that's clearly about... It's about Rebecca What's-Her-Face, who lived in the house, but it's also clearly about Scooter Braun.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was about Kanye, but I've been informed it's Scooter Braun.
Yeah, no, there's clearly some... And there's, like, yeah, there's the thing where it's, like, women like hunting witches too, doing your dirtiest work for you. It's obvious that wanting me dead has really brought you two together. That's, like, is that a Kim Ye? Like,
are we remaking The Crucible?
Yeah, sure, let's do it. I don't actually... Do you know, I don't actually know the play The Crucible that well.
Because
I'm a fake theatre boy.
Same.
Yeah, I just... There's witches. And I saw Goody Proctor with the devil, and I don't really know.
Why am I persecuted?
What's the deal with witches?
What's the deal with the devil's sacrament?
That's the only thing that I would actually ever want to see Jerry Seinfeld in ever again.
Is the Crucible.
Is him as John Proctor in The Crucible. And he just keeps breaking off to talk directly to the audience. Like, what's going on? Which is which?
You could do something that very much played textually with the concepts and have, like, an almost all about Eve style fading actress who has been playing the Lady Macbeths for her entire career and now wants to play King Lear, and everyone's like, ah, she's a mad woman, and they're incapable of conceiving a female performance outside of the femaleness of it.
And it's Helen Mirren.
Yes, it's Helen Mirren.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, greenlit immediately. The only other idea that I had was about an Ocean's 8 style team of witch hunters. But they're exclusively hunting male witches, so just Hosier.
You know what? Put that in your back pocket. That might be ready for one of the other songs on this god-awful album.
Okay. Yep. Oh god, the next song is out of COVID-19/World War II.
Taylor. Epiphany.
Crawling off the beaches now. Sir, I think he's bleeding out. And some things you just can't speak about.
As we've said, a song that is both about how war is bad and how COVID-19
is bad.
And also just death generally. I don't know, like the last lyric...
bad unless you're faking your own funeral.
Yes. Yeah. Unless you killed the old Taylor and now you're the new Taylor.
Yeah.
The end of it is only 20 minutes to sleep, but you dream of some epiphany, just one single glimpse of relief to make some sense of what you've seen.
Well, I don't know about you, but you know that bit in the Bible where Jesus goes into the desert and sees all of man's sins?
Yes, I'm familiar with that time that Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, yeah.
So what if it's like a compilation film made up of lots of different directors doing different sins they reckon Jesus saw? I'm not hearing a no there.
Well, the other thing that it could be is, because the Feast of the Epiphany, which is the 6th of January, it's the end of the 12 days of Christmas, and it's when the wise men arrive to see the baby Jeebus.
Yeah, with the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh.
Judas. But what if it's this is so dumb. No, I can't. You know, what if it's then the wise men have a fucking epic battle over who's the wisest man. They're like, I will have the epiphany. I don't know.
I think that the wise men battling it out and then creating COVID-19 is the way we need to go.
Alrighty. Okay.
Okay. That's epiphany. Done. Thank you, Taylor Swift's granddad, for your service.
It's basically a redux of Three Wise Men by James Blunt. Those three wise men, they got a semi by the sea. You got to ask yourself the question, where are you now?
Oh,
where
that indeed? Sort of semi. Right. No. Okay. Yeah.
No, the other kind as well. Both kinds of semi.
All right. We're up to the song that we both actually like.
Are we?
Oh, no, we're not.
No, we're up to Betty.
Okay. No, we don't like Betty.
Betty, I won't make assumptions about why you switched your homeroom, but I think it's 'cause of me.
So here comes the harmonica.
In yet another just shameless attempt to be Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. But this is, it's a thing where I'm like, is this album not really kind of adhering to like the kind of thematic and like literary is the wrong word, but you know what I mean? Like the kind of formal...
the theme that you set up. Yeah.
Yeah. And like the kind of the formal values of folk. It also very barely touches on any kind of instrumentation that's associated with folk. It's like, here's the harmonica now.
Harmonica.
It's like, okay. So this is the one that she writes from the perspective of James. It also, every single time it hits the chorus, all I can hear is the fact that, because she's doing that indie girl soft vowel thing, instead of saying, if I just showed up at your party, she kind of says, if I just showed up at your party...
What if I showed up at your party? Unless...
Oh, also, my other thought... Sorry, I had two other thoughts on this song before we pitch something.
Uh-huh.
The key change does actually work.
Oh, I hate the key change.
Cool. You just got me over the edge there. This is also one where she swears. It's something about telling me to go fuck myself.
She do.
But the other thing is that the end of this song rhymes cardigan...
In your cardigan, kissing in my car again.
With car again.
It does.
And I'm guessing she wrote that line.
I'd erased that from my brain.
I'm guessing she wrote that line before she wrote the song Cardigan. I'm guessing that line is the reason why there is a song called Cardigan.
I thought she was trying to thematically tie the album together, but...
No, that's apparently what The One and Hoax are for. They're the bookends.
Okay, so I have a pitch for this one.
Yeah, cool.
Building on your Scream 2 style narrative.
Oh, so, yeah. So this is the threequel to that.
Yeah, so I'm not quite sure what would happen at the end of the screenwriter and the screenwriter's friend and the screenwriter's friend's wife, but this would be a true crime podcast trying to work out what happened there.
Yes. Someone ends up dead and someone's missing and someone's writing a screenplay about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, but what did happen? Cool. Yeah, I love that. And
that's the trilogy.
The podcast investigator can be played by Hugh Dancy as Will Graham.
And oh my god, the screenwriter was the one from Exile.
Yes. Yeah.
Jake Gyllenhaal was the guy running Homeland in Exile.
Yes. Oh, it all comes together.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
This is what I call the FCU, the Folklore Cinematic Universe.
Now that's what I call folklore.
And now we get to
the song we actually like.
Which is the song that we dig, yes.
A coming of age has come and gone. Suddenly this summer it's clear. I never had the courage of my convictions, as long as danger is near. And it's just around the corner, darling, 'cause it lives in me. No, I can never give you peace.
Which, it's definitely my favourite on the album, even though it also has a piss weak fucking Kanye diss in it.
Which
she's
one?
Like, there's robbers to the east and clowns to the west. I'd give you but in the lyric video, West is capitalized, and all the Taylor stands, they were like, oh, that's so clever. Oh, she called Kanye West a clown. Oh, and it's like, Kanye West fans call Kanye West a clown.
I don't think anyone has less respect for Kanye West than his biggest fans.
Yeah, me and Sarah. Yeah, but also just that thing where I'm like, okay, you call him a clown. Like, that's not a huge diss.
No.
Chorus of this song. I'm a fire and I'll keep your brittle heart warm. If your cascade ocean wave blues come.
Okay, the lyrics aren't good, which, but it's
yeah, which I was, yeah. All these people think love's for show, but I would die for you in secret. The devil's in the details, but you got a friend in me. Would it be enough if I could never give you peace? Falling in love during the zombie apocalypse.
Okay, I was also gonna go apocalypse.
Yeah, like the idea of like, you know, like, would this be enough? Like, we'll fall in love and either one of us might die at any given moment because of zombies.
Mm.
And we'll never know peace.
We can't get attached, but...
Yeah, and like, there's no one around for us to like, show our love to you. But I would die for you in secret to protect you from the zombies. You got a friend in me. You know, and like, fire keeping your heart warm. And they're like, trying to find the ocean because the zombies can't swim. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
No, we can't love each other because like...
Yeah, I reckon you'd have to do very much the dynamic that one of them was like, hey, well, I'm in love with you and it's a zombie apocalypse, so might as well be in love with you. And the other one's like, no, I gotta keep my emotions in check. Can't have emotion, must kill zomb.
Yeah, and like, and also that thing where then you have like a heartfelt moment of admission where the one who's been like, gotta keep my emotions in check is kind of like, I just don't want to like... I if I let myself love you and then you die, that's going to be really bad. So I just figure that I can only kind of love you a little bit and then bury it and then we'll both be miserable, but maybe not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Again, I'd watch that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they're played by Oscar Isaac and John Boyega.
Yes.
Bringing back all the faves. Yeah. Or they're played by Daisy Ridley and Kelly Marie Tran.
Yeah.
Either works. Both work.
Mm-hmm. All right,
and now
we're
last one. Last one. Oh,
my smoking gun, my eclipsed sun. This has broken me down. Stood on the cliffside, screaming, "Give me a reason." Your faithless love's the only hooks
on the cliffside screaming, give me a reason. Anyway, yeah, your faithless love's the only hoax I believe in. Don't want no other shade of blue but you. No other sadness in the world would do.
Is that possibly a reference back to Delicate? Because that's got, oh damn, never seen that shade of blue.
Probably.
Probably. I don't know.
Does Joe Alwyn have blue eyes? Is that...
He was the least interesting thing in The Favourite, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know, and I don't... Because also the previous song mentions the Cascade Ocean Wave Blues, which I can only imagine are his eyes.
or it is his depression.
Yeah, the Cascade Ocean Wave Blues. I got that Cascade Ocean Wave depression, babe.
The 12-bar Cascade Ocean Wave Blues.
Wait, maybe it's Don't Want Another Shade of... Don't Want No Other Shade of Blue But You. Maybe we're talking about the blues.
Yeah. Now we're talking about... Yeah, we want that particular, like, swing-style deep bass blues that Taylor Swift... Actually, you know what? Fuck it. I'd listen to a Taylor Swift blues album, if only to see what she thinks blues is.
Yeah. No, it is that thing where I would listen exactly once to every single album that I imagine Taylor Swift is going to do now, where she dips a toe into a different genre. Okay, we got to think of a film for this one. Taylor's counting on us.
Okay, so like, you know, like every She's All That fake dating kind of movie, uh-huh, where it
fake
turns
dating
out,
AU.
Yeah, except it's one of them doesn't know, and it turns out that they find out that it was all a setup, but no, they've really fallen in love, but like they never acknowledge exactly how fucked that is for the people involved.
Yeah, so it'd be like a How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days kind of thing, but actually, yeah, as you say, acknowledging that shit's fucked.
Yeah. So the whole thing would be kind of like, you know how you have all of those like small indie dramas where they talk about the thing that happened and they never actually say what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And at the start you assume that it was murder or something like that, and then it turns out that it was this shitty high school thing.
Where there was a fake dating AU.
Yeah.
Cool.
And now they have trust issues.
Boom. Yeah. Boom time. Boom.
Thank you. That was all of Taylor Swift's new album.
We did it. That kind of is like our longest shuffle round.
Yeah, it really ever. Is. Yeah.
I think we did well.
Yeah.
Obviously, once we get off the old horn here, one of us should go email Taylor Swift or with all of our pitch document.
No, I think Taylor Swift will email us.
Ah.
After, look, she's heard this. She's heard Love Story, she's heard Christmas Tree Farm, and she's like, these two do not care for my music. I should give them a lot of money.
I think she's going to come around. Also, wild that you think she's heard Love Story or Christmas Tree Farm.
I think Taylor Swift listens to all internet commentary about her.
I hope the Taylor Swift stans come for the pod.
And then they'll have to listen to all of it.
Because I would love the notoriety. Yeah. Hey, Taylor stans, hidden in every single... I know you guys like Easter eggs. Hidden in every single episode of Pitch Shift Podcast is some coded diss of Taylor Swift. And we need you to find all
of them. It's a weekly Taylor diss.
Yeah. Actually, no. We don't. We absolutely don't in any way want you to find... By listening deeply to every single episode, all of the secret coded disses of Taylor Swift that we put into our podcast every single week. We don't want you to find that. We know you love Easter eggs, so we're just letting you know, please don't look for our Easter eggs.
I know that we normally do, like, hey, have you got anything that you need to promote? But have you got any soothing lockdown activities that you'd recommend to other people?
I've been, you know, much as you've been learning the guitar, I've been playing my ukulele.
Cute.
Playing my little ukulele. I've been playing Pokemon Go. Mm-hmm. That's harder to do now that I'm only allowed outside for an hour of a day. I don't know. I'm not very soothed lately. Mm. What about you, Tansy? Do you have any soothing country rural activities that people could get all up in?
Well, as you said, I've been learning the guitar, so I've been playing Johnny Cash's Hurt and refusing to sing anything other than Old Town Road. also, Natalie Imbruglia is Torn, but also because my parents are getting like some new flooring done, I've been taking out the tiles in the laundry for the past couple of days, and it's soothing as hell. Like, that's what I was doing when I was listening to Folklore, just sitting on the floor, smashing a hammer and chisel into 35-year-old tiles.
Yeah.
Also, it's called a cold chisel, the chisel that I'm using, which I assumed was a joke when my dad said, this is a cold chisel.
It's a cold chisel!
But yeah, every time you hit it with a hammer, it screams like Jimmy Barnes.
Like your dad when he has to sneeze. Alrighty. All right. Where can people find you on the internet?
They can find me on Twitter at Tansy Clipboard. Where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Galzo Chady. We are also both on Letterboxd.
We are.
If you like this podcast, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts. We currently have all 5-star reviews.
So if
all
you want to ruin 5-star. That, then...
No, if you want to ruin that, then
giddy out my way.
giddy out the way, but if you want to give us a 5-star review, giddy up, my friend. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, on SoundCloud, on Stitcher, on Pocket Cast. We are on Twitter at PitchShiftPod and Instagram at PitchShiftPod. And also, if you want to email us, you can email us pitchshiftpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, Tansy? I really have missed you. So much so that the other day I was like doing my walk around. And I thought I saw you at the bus stop. But I didn't.
It's okay. It's illegal to take buses now.
I didn't. I'd swing with you for the fences. Sit with you in the trenches. Give you my wild. Give you a child. Give you the silence that only comes when two people understand each other. Family that I've chosen. Now I see your brother as my brother. Is it enough? Yay. But there's robins to the east, clowns to the west. Feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why I made that bitch famous. Goddamn, I made that bitch famous. Woo! Have you ever had sex with a pharaoh? I put the pussy in a sarcophagus. Now she claiming that I bruised her esophagus. They be ballin' in the D-League. I'll be speaking Swahili, but you got a friend in me. I am a god, hurry up with the damn massage. I said I am a god, yeah, the Porsche at the damn garage. In a franchise restaurant, hurry up with my damn croissants. Yeah. Fuck yeah. That's the one.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri, Wiradjuri and Boonwurrung people. Sovereignty was never ceded and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.